Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Seven knife and hollers, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hollers.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? We are back. It is 79th and Hallis episode 241, man. It's your guy, Scott and Flows. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barber Chair Scott, at Flows and Delini. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you missed this live stream and you want to hear the audio and the video, you can go to the Patreon because that'll be uploaded on there first and will be uploaded on the regular feeds later on Monday, man. So we are here to go over a couple things. A lot of things have happened. Well, not a lot of things, but a decent amount of things have happened in Bears world since the last time we recorded. But how are you feeling, sir?
I'm done with all this. I want it to be over. I don't think I've ever wanted an offseason to end, because typically at the end of Bears seasons, everything sucks. Because it sucks, I kind of want to wait until I have to see disappointing football again. But right now, I'm just ready for, I think I'm on the guillotine. I'm just ready for the sword, the freaking blade to strike my neck and cut off my head, because I know what's about to happen. They're about to take my boy Justin out back and old yeller him. And it's going to suck. But I'm ready to get it over with, because at the end of the day, I don't think you, if in a position that the team is in, that you can pass up on Caleb. I don't think he's that guy, but whatever. And then I'm tired of seeing arguments about on Twitter. Oh, the field's cold. Oh, you guys are just standing for Caleb. It's like, who cares?
I mean, there's coats for all of them. Yeah. There's a Caleb coat. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know what I'm saying? It's Caleb coat, Justin coat. It is what it is. But one thing that I that has annoyed me about this conversation, yes, it is very annoying, but we are media members. So, you know what I'm saying? This is something where, you know, we just, you know, we deal with it. It's good for content, I'll say, but it's very annoying as somebody who just wants to, you know, talk football. But this is one thing I have about it before we kind of get into the rundown. This Bears Twitter is a toxic place. And you know what's funny about why it's stupid it's toxic? Because these are great situations. Like we used to have, you know, we're arguing over Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton. You know, arguing over Jay Cutler and, you know, Josh McCown. You know what I'm saying? You have two good options here. If they in the
Brian
very
Greasy, Rex Grossman.
Yeah, Brian. Oh man, I remember that.
The Sometimes or the Tribune, one of those two. It was the argument of which quarterback do you go with? And one side says the choice is easy, choose Greasy. And I was like, yep. I knew then I was in for a life of hell.
Yeah, it's just I remember that was after he did like that 95-yard you know what I'm saying, it was a 95-yard drive on the Eagles. That's when that shit started. I remember that. But you're either going to be Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. This is a good situation. And what I mean by either or, it's 5% chance they do go Justin Fields, because I don't, you know, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. And for those of you, don't fall for it's the content space right now where everybody is trying to get the views up. You know what I'm saying? We just got right now, you know, what Colin Cowherd said on 670 The Score, that Caleb and his camp don't want to be in Chicago. By the way, this is not a source that he said. It's just some shit he said on there. So it's going to be a lot of that to get Bears fans going, to get the computers putin',
somebody
things else like that.
Caleb Williams' pops account, too. I was like, what are you doing?
It's just too damn much, man. So I kind of wanted to end too, but we are just getting into the stretch run, man. We're about to be up on, you know, they're currently at the Senior Bowl. There's been a lot of talk at the Senior Bowl right now, and then it's going to be the Combine in a couple weeks. And after the Combine is the new league year starts, or, you know, where you got to, you know, tag whoever you're going to tag. And you also got free agency and things of that nature, man. But let's talk about stuff that has already happened. The Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, mainly Ryan Poles. I don't think Matt Eberflus had anything to do with this, have established their staff on the offensive side of the ball. Shane Waldron is the new offensive coordinator. Passing game coordinator is Thomas Brown, who was the offensive coordinator towards the end of the year of the Carolina Panthers. He was in the McVay system and also worked with Waldron as well. And the Bears also interviewed him for the offensive coordinator job. That was a big signing right there. You got quarterbacks coach Kerry Joseph, who was also from the McVay Waldron camp, who will be the quarterbacks coach. And on the defensive side of the ball, it will be Eric Washington will be the defensive coordinator. He was defensive line coach in Buffalo. And he actually was defensive line coach for the Bears in the 2010 and 2011 season. So he's coming back home. And this one, even though he is defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus still will be calling plays. What do you think about these hirings?
Well, I won't act as if I don't appreciate a few of the hires. I do not mind Shane Waldron being hired. I think it's a very solid person to hire, especially having spent time in Los Angeles and having spent time in Seattle. In terms of it's weird for me because I don't think there's a certain level to where I think coaches have a true effect on what happens with how the players play. If we're talking about like Thomas Brown, who is the running back coach, passing game coordinator, a passing game coordinator has a lot of responsibilities. Thomas Brown was a former running back who's a passing game coordinator. Passing game coordinator has a lot of responsibilities. There's a lot of things that they have to do, have a lot of things they have to make solid, make right, make efficient. And I think that is really, really paramount to a successful team. But when I get into the other positions, I think, for instance, a defensive line coordinator. Not that I don't think the coach can do a lot, but I do think you kind of lose the amount of effect they can do on each coach. So my whole point is I don't care that the name is there. I just want to know where they fit within the system of coaches they have. Like, for instance, will Thomas Brown fit well with the scheme and with the offense that Shane Waldron is bringing to the team? That's more important to me than anything else. And then, of course, with Kerry Joseph, is he going to fit in well with Thomas Brown as the passing coordinator and Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator? Like, are these things going to mesh well? And then, of course, we talk about defensive coordinator and is Flus is still calling the plays?
Yeah, Flus still calling defensive plays.
It's defensive coordinator not calling the plays. It's weird. I'm not sure how many times I can say if
well, it's like offensive coordinator who don't call the plays. We've seen that a lot of times.
And I hate that too. I think the offensive coordinator should have the responsibility of calling the plays simply because you have so many people around your passing game coordinator, a quarterback's coach, who help you deal with the massive amount of things you have to do as a passing game coordinator. That being said, it's kind of weird for me to see a defensive coordinator not call plays. But I am excited to see how this all plays out. The only negative effect is that I'm still a little bit pessimistic because Bears fans have been here before. And every time the reaction from one side is, oh, man, this is what happened before. And then the other side is, oh, man, come on, man. You can't keep saying that, man. Don't let the past hold you back. And I get that, though. But I approach the Bears like the American criminal justice system approaches criminals, except I'm the opposite. So instead of innocent until proven guilty, you're guilty until proven innocent. You're guilty until proven innocent. Why? Because the Bears have a track record of doing things incorrectly. And because of that, I think it's fair for me to say, I don't think they'll change. And there are certain things, like I said before, the Chiefs, my coworker. He is my coworker David, nice dude, loves the Kansas City Chiefs, and been a born and raised Kansas City Chiefs fan. He was like, man, so what do you think is going to happen with my Chiefs? I'm like, bro, you've been a fan for your entire life. You know what's going to happen. I'm not betting against you all. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes is there. Scott, what did we do with freaking Tom Brady when it was his prime? You think they're going to beat the Patriots? Probably not. Even though he lost quite a few times, my assumption is probably not.
I have a counter to that, but I'm going to let you keep going.
That was it. I'm interested to hear your counter.
Because that's just one nigga that we've seen. These are different regimes. Now, I'm not mad at anybody who wants to be, oh, the Bears got to prove it to me. I get it. I understand. But we definitely acting like the woman who's been cheated on her whole life, and then she finally meet a good nigga, and she's like, he got to be cheating. There's something that's going on. That's what Bears fans are acting like. And I'm like I said, I'm not saying that either one is wrong. I'm not saying she's wrong because she's been hurt and Bears fans have been hurt. But when have we ever had a situation? Like, we keep saying we've been in this position. No, we have not. We have never had the pick of the litter at the quarterback position. Literally, you have a guy who we have not. We have not had the pick of the litter at a quarterback position. We have not. I'm talking about the number one draft pick. Even in 2002,
isn't high either.
No, yeah, we traded up to two. We were originally at three.
So you had three. I mean, that's still great.
It's still great, but I'm saying, like, this is – even there was still questions about Deshaun Watson. People didn't know because his injury status is what I'm saying. That's why he dropped. But what I'm saying is this. The Bears have the number one pick. Even in 2017, even though they went to go get Mitch, the niggas had to trade up. You have – you control everything here. And look, hold on. You can give me the – you can roll your eyes, whatever. I feel y'all. I'm not disagreeing with how y'all feel at all. I'm not telling you're wrong in how you're feeling. But you never think about, I'm just a half, you know me, you're my brother, obviously. I'm a glass half full person. I just don't look at doom and gloom situations. And I feel like if you're gonna be a sports fan, what's the point of you being doom and gloom? You might as well just don't watch, nigga, if that's what the view you're gonna have, in my personal opinion. So they have never had a situation like this. Either you go with Justin Fields and you put everything around Justin Fields, that's a good situation. Or you get Caleb Williams. Well, I'm not saying that he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, but you shouldn't compare him to Patrick Mahomes. Niggas didn't even know Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes. So that's like the new LeBron or a new Jordan. You shouldn't compare him. But what if he is a franchise quarterback? Let's just think about the positives. You know what I'm saying? And don't shit on the people who want to think about the positives. And I feel like if you're going to think negative, that's cool. Fine. As you see, he's reading books. If you're going to think about negative, that's fine. But why are you tweeting about the shit every day if you're just mad about the shit? If you want to give up on the team, give up. Do what I do. If I gave up on the White Sox. Do you ever hear me tweet about them niggas or talk about them niggas? No, they are dead to me. So I don't waste my time talking about them. So that's just how I personally feel. But I'm not mad at the thinking because, yes, the Bears have done nothing. The Bears have literally done nothing to prove that they are capable of making sound decisions. But me personally, I like to judge it by a regime. So far, Ryan Poles has had way more hits than misses. If you want to be 100% real about it. So I'm just going to go off with the belief that they're going to get it right this time, more than just going around saying, oh, it's over, them niggas going to stink, da-da-da. And I'm not saying the coach staff, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be the greatest coach staff ever. No, we won't know until a year from now after we see how the season played out if these were good hirings or not. Because remember, people were excited about Lou Getsy a couple years ago. So that was something too. But I feel like the process – that they went through. When have we ever seen the Bears even do a thorough process? They interviewed 10 people. I feel like they've actually come out on top of the dude who's the most coveted offensive coordinator. Now, did they have to pick a little offensive coordinator? No, because if you're going for offensive coordinator, the great offensive coordinators are going for head coaching jobs. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how I personally feel about it. I'm not mad at you for feeling that way or other Bears fans feeling that way. I just think that's a shitty way to live, but that's just me. You can get done reading your book and comment.
You've done this before, Scott.
I've never been this positive about the Bears, though.
We've been here before.
But it's been a different regime.
It's always a different regime. It's always different.
But do you at least see where I'm coming from, though? I see where you're coming from. It's like you're not even looking. It's like Bears fans don't even want to acknowledge the possibility of something good happening.
Oh, no. I'm not one of those people who will pick a side and then they're like, all right, so if Caleb take off, don't be like them. Like, if he takes off, hell yeah. The more the merrier. The same way if they keep Justin and he takes off, the more the merrier. It's all about the Bears winning. I want them to win. I cover them, but I still love that team. I want them to win. That being said, we've been here before. We have been here before.
So you have absolutely no faith in Ryan Poles, is what you're saying?
No.
Nothing. And so why? You don't like any moves you've made?
I don't know. See, I'm probably getting to semantics, but I don't have faith that anything good will happen until something good will happen. So, like, it's clear defensively, he knows what he's doing. He signed some absolute studs. He drafted some absolute studs. Offensively, of course.
You got DJ Moore.
The DJ Moore trade, landmark, beautiful. Also, the Panthers are stupid. The same team that gave away CMC. They're not smart. They're a stupid team. Darnell Wright, did good. I'm actually happy Darnell Wright is here instead of Jalen Hurts. I'm actually happy they got Darnell Wright instead of Jalen Carter. I think it was a very good decision. And I think Darnell Wright's maturity and his skill level just got better as it went on. And it showed you how well he is disciplined. I think it's great. Everything else, we'll have to wait
but
and see.
But this is why I feel like Bears fans are full of shit, though. Because y'all know damn well. Now, I don't know about you, because you live in the darkness now. But most Bears fans, the first OTA spiral video of Caleb Williams with nobody guarding him and like DJ Moore catching it.
Oh, the delusion. If any of you all ever had to read the Bible as a kid, you heard about the angel of the Lord who, like, during Passover, the angel of death. Take the angel of death and put Bear's delusion. It's going to be like the spirit of delusion descended upon flows. I'm going to see that tight spiral touchdown to DJ Moore. I'm like, look who we got. Yeah, I'm going to go crazy. I know. But until that moment, I'm going to hold on to my logic and my sanity. But I do know. Okay, come on now. On top of that, what I do want people to avoid is hand-holding. We don't have to hand-hold anymore. They're going to do it.
That's not just Bears fan. That's a sports fan.
Oh, I know. It's a sports fan thing. Even though I think in soccer, it's
niggas
kind of
hand-holding the fuck out of Justin Fields right now.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, no. There's a reason he didn't get that ball out. I'm like, no, he just didn't get it out. So, I think it's just interesting to me to see how if Caleb busts out, this team will not recover. If Caleb, oh my God, that future terrifies me.
You know what terrifies me more than that?
Horrifies me.
You know what tells me before? If we keep Justin and Justin's still doing the same shit he's doing now, and Caleb looks like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're both the same.
That's what I'm saying. It's a 50-50 shot.
No, I'm saying those are both equally terrible things to happen. Yeah. You draft Caleb and he's dog water.
But you know how they always bring
up freaking 30 touchdown passing and 10 rushing. I'm be like, why did we do that?
Well, here's the thing. You know what? I feel like, and this is just me. I personally think
live with either. This is a lose-lose situation.
No, you can't live. No, in that particular extreme thing, yeah, you can't live with it. But here's the thing, though. We never discussed this. I personally think now you have a better football mind than me. I think the superstar window is crossed with Justin. I think he can be really good somewhere. I just don't believe that he's going to go to another system and then this nigga just looks like Lamar Jackson. I personally just don't believe that. I think that window is passed. Do I think he can be a very good quarterback, top 10, like 8 to 10? Yes, I think he can. I feel like if he was going to be there, even in a shit system, I feel like he should have showed me more, even in a shit system. We're just going off 2023. 2022, 2021, he had nothing you could grade him off of. I'm not even, you know, one thing we got to come together is he was dealt a shit hand. There's just no way if fans buffs about it. But this year, remember when the season started? And this is the one thing I've said about it's not just Bears fans. I'm not saying this is sports fans. We like to change the narrative up when it doesn't go the way we want it. When we sat up here in the summer and we had our pre-shows, what did we say? Justin has enough to succeed. We said that. We all said that. But now we want to act like, oh, well, Darnell Mooney isn't the NFL in wide receiver. And, you know, and Chase Claypool didn't happen. Nigga, DJ Moore had career highs. Cole Kmet had a better year last than he did last year. Cole Kmet is worth the money. You know, they were weapons. So I'm not saying that. I think Justin is just – I'm going to give the Justin Herbert example. Justin Herbert has been in shit systems since he got in the goddamn league. But he has shown more is what I'm saying. He's shown more than what Justin has shown. Now, when he gets with an actual system like Jim Harbaugh, that nigga going to look like an MVP next year. So that's what I'm saying is that even when people like to compare him to Lamar, I think it's an asinine comparison. And this is why. I think they're the similar player-wise. Like, they both run and they can, you know, and things like that and throw. But Lamar is a way better pocket passer than Justin Fields. We can't argue that. And remember what we always said? Oh, Lamar never has nobody to throw to. Lamar has had way worse offense. I mean, what's called wide receivers than Justin Fields. And he threw 36 touchdowns in 2019 with an offensive coordinator that every Bears fan was like, nigga, they better not hire him and Greg Roman. So that's why I think the comparison is dumb. So I think that he can be like a Geno Smith or, you know, a Dak Prescott, which are really good quarterbacks, and you can win with that. But the superstar thing that we're going to look up one day and this nigga looks like Lamar or Burrow or Allen, I just don't see that shit. And that's just my opinion. What do you think about that?
Well, there are only 3 to 4 superstar quarterbacks a year, and I don't think anybody has ever said anybody assumed, or I didn't get the idea that Justin would become first 2-pick game from Caleb Williams to do it. I don't think the assumption, at least for me and most people that I know, were that Justin was going to become a superstar. There are 3 superstars in the league that are quarterbacks. It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, it's Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. So 4. That's it. There are no more superstars outside of that. That being said, there are a lot of good QBs. And also, like Justin Herbert, not a superstar, very good quarterback. He's just an anomaly. I'll be quite honest with you. He's an anomaly. I have never seen someone have to suffer. Now, very good skill players. Let's get that. Very good skill players. One of the best running and catching backs in the game in Austin Eckler. Was it Mike Williams, who is
the nigga can never stay healthy, but yes.
Can never stay healthy. And then the tall nigga, number 13. So he came into the league with incredible skill players.
Another nigga that who can never stay healthy. Keenan Allen never stays healthy.
Keenan Allen had played most of the games this year.
How many games Keenan Allen? Am I getting confused with Mike Williams?
I think you're getting confused with Mike Williams.
Let me see.
Keenan Allen freaking had 1,200 yards this year. Last year, Keenan Allen was injured, I believe, if I'm correct. Yeah, no. 13, 10, 16, 14, 16, 16, 16. His first is his 3rd and 4th year when Justin Herbert wasn't here, he was injured.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Mike Williams. Mike Williams gets injured a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a good question. It says, does it bother y'all to Caleb count on a smaller side? Or it's like, I mean, it bothers me a tad, not really. Like, if you can throw the ball.
No, Mike Williams played 13, 14, 13, 16, 15, 15. This year, he got injured. Who are you thinking of, brother?
It's both of them niggas be hurt. Like,
yeah, maybe they suffer injuries, but they all play.
Okay, I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, okay, let's talk about this season of Justin.
Remember, I'm still finishing my point.
My bad. Good.
So I say that to say Justin Herbert, who I think has the potential to be a superstar. I'm very high on Justin Herbert. I'm very happy that Harbaugh is there for him. I really think he can have a potential to take the leap. Because, I mean, coming to the league and throwing 30 touchdowns is nuts. He is one of those, but he had to battle inconsistent coaching for sure.
To say the least.
That being said, he always had the green light to gun it, and that's what he did since his career. He never struggled with bad skill players because he never had bad skill players. He never did. And my only excuses for Justin are on last year. That's it. Last year, I was like, that is some of the worst skill position players I've ever seen in my life.
Easily.
This year, oh, no, it's a lot better. Freaking whatchamacallit had DJ Moore, career year. Cole Kmet, career year. Darren Mooney, it was a downturn. I'm not too sure. But in a solid running game. So, no, my excuses aren't that high for him this year. For last year, I was like, that's just bad. And I don't think anybody rationally could say, oh, we should have just got CJ Stroud. That's not reasonable.
No.
That being said, yes, no, there's excuses that I'm not going to give. But when it comes to developing quarterbacks, it's really weird. Like, Kurt Warner spent the vast majority of his early career okay. And then he just came out of nowhere as a Hall of Famer. Rich Gannon asked most of his career and then got an MVP in 4 years when he threw like 30 touchdowns. It's like, how did this even happen? For some players, they need to be in a right system and have right skill players. For some players like Justin Herbert, you give me the skill guys, I'm going to make it work. And that's just how it works. Because even the best, Patrick Mahomes struggled with Nagy as a coordinator this year, though I think Andy Reid was still calling plays. Or no, was it Nagy?
No, Nagy calls plays. Just...
So they struggled to find the mojo because he was underwhelming this year. But of course, what happened? They found their mojo, and look what he's doing. Pat Mahomes things again. So I think even the best, I don't think any player can survive with those two gone. I think that's impossible. I don't know one player who survived like that. Justin Fields last year had none of those things. This year he had one of those things in solid skill position players. Luke Getsy had great games. Terrible games, and that's just was the dichotomy. Like within Luke Getsy, I think if he gets a chance to sit back in front of somebody, he can become a better coordinator. The same way with Dan Quinn. I don't mind Dan Quinn getting a job with Washington. I don't think he's a great fit there, but I think it's time for him to give another position.
Dan Quinn hiring is like when you start fucking with a girl just because ain't nobody else around. And I'm not saying that he ain't good, but they wanted Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson was who they wanted. Ben Johnson's like, you know what? And that's also, too, what I think, too, for you say Ian Rapoport or Sicko for that guest. Well, you know, they got to keep their relationships up. We probably know somebody in guest camp, but
Ian Rapoport, a lot of freaking local journalists dislike him.
But a lot of local journalists hate Shams and Woj. When you get the big scoops, niggas don't like you.
That's just really what it is. A lot hate on him. Yeah. Because they're like, oh man, he be hand holding, kissing ass. I'm like, probably. But at the same time, I get it though. Journalists don't want to be looked at as hand holders, ass kissers. They want to be objective 24/7. I do think sports journalism is one of those things where it's very difficult to do that. Everybody has vested interest in sports. And you have a team that you like. I will say a vast chunk of the Bears beat loves the Bears, wants to see them succeed, but they're just like, whatever. Because watching the Kansas City media, oh, they love Kansas.
Contrary to Bears fans' belief that they think all media members hate the Bears.
Like, oh man, Dan Wheeler hates us. No, Dan Wheeler's just subjective.
But Kansas City media was smiling, like they were. I was like,
well, like best friends with everybody.
I told a joke when we were waiting for Coach Andy for Andy Reid to come. I was like, because they had like leather seats in the fucking press room. I was like, how does it feel to cover a winning team? And they all of them started laughing. I was like, I'm dead ass fucking serious. Like, I want to know. You niggas are smiling. Like, y'all niggas look refreshed. Like, oh, that game was over in the first quarter. Like, I don't know what that feels like as a football fan. But I feel like, you know, there's just so many different ways. And one thing I want to say, too, because I seen, you know, shout out to this one comment says, hope polls over things since the drafts Drake May so I can walk away from this team with a clear conscience. You're going to hear smoke on Drake May and maybe even Jay Daniels. They're going to do their due diligence. But from everything we're hearing from, you know, knowledgeable sources out here, people in the national and local media, you know, Adam Johns, Courtney Cronin, Kevin Fishbane was on John's show today, and they're basically saying, word on the street is it's, you know, the Caleb Williams thing is inevitable. And as we enter draft season, Bears fan, this one's going to be, if no matter what side you're on, whether you're pro Caleb, pro Justin, this is going to be a very unbearable at least 6 weeks for you. And I say that because the next 6 weeks, I feel like, is when Justin Fields is going to be traded. I think Justin Fields gets traded right after the NFL combine, and, you know, right before the league year starts. Because if you're the Bears, you're going to want to get the highest you can before the league year opens. And then people are going to be looking in other directions for quarterback. And that means Justin's value drops down. If you think this, if you think that Justin Fields is going to be passed on the Bears past March 15th, I don't want to tell you. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna be gone. But there's gonna be so many different ways that people, as soon as the confetti is picked up off the field at Allegiant Stadium, everything is gonna be about the Bears. So you're gonna hear every asinine thing because content is king. People want clicks. You know what I'm saying? Like even with the Colin Cowherd thing on 6-7 to score with Danny Parkins. Like he said, well, Caleb's camp doesn't want to be in there. That was pure speculation. In his press release, Caleb Williams said, "For whoever drafts me, that is not a thing. That is to get clicks and to get people talking to think that Caleb doesn't want to go here." Okay, so it's gonna be stuff like that you're gonna be hearing. It's gonna be, oh man, some scouts are saying that Drake May might jump the one. He had a great combine. He had great talking. So there's gonna be stuff like that. But when the smoke clears on April 25th, 2024, Caleb Williams will be a Chicago Bear. And I think people just need to, you know, accept it and things like that. Billy Ice, I forgot who said in Chicago interview, trade back. And that was definitely Eric Kramer. And all due respect to Eric Kramer, I don't give a shit what he says about the quarterback position. I just don't care. Like, nobody with a fucking brain. If you think Ryan Poles is banking his job on Bo Nix,
29-year-old Bo Nix.
If Justin don't work out, I'll go with this 35-year-old right here. No. I just want to say this. What people like is jobs on this. You got to think about the business side of it, too.
Yeah.
Jobs.
It's, you know, politics.
People got one. I think when they hire Thomas Brown, people's like, man, Justin got backdoor. The your guy theory is a real thing. No matter how stupid it is, the their guy thing is a real thing. You know what I'm saying? And the fact of the matter is, Justin Fields was not Ryan Poles' guy. He gave him a shot. Gave him a shot last year. You know, in 2022, he added nothing. In 2023, he added as much as he could to this. You know what I'm saying? And nothing happened. So, of course, with his job alone, on top of the fact that he's black, And niggas don't get backup opportunities like Ryan Pace, who just got a fucking, you know,
what's promotion.
Promotion. That ain't happening. If he fucks this up, no matter who he goes with, he is never getting another job. It's just that damn sense. He said, Romelo is going to be on Barebone Twitter when Drake may. Yeah, but just block him now. Or as Alex says, block him for 7 business days.
So my thought about all this is, I'm pro-Justin much more than Ethica. I believe in Justin. I think that's a huge mistake. Shout out to Betsy. Give him a try and accept the possibility now that he'll be gone. Yeah, no, shout out to Betsy. He always has excellent dialogue with her on Twitter.
Definitely.
It's different for me. I don't root hard for Justin just because he's a Bear. He's a Buckeye, baby.
He's a Buckeye. Yeah.
He's a Buckeye. I root hard for him because he's a Buckeye, and I want to see him succeed. And so it hurts my soul to see him go.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Because of that very reason. That being said, I'm taking, if it's not Caleb, I wouldn't take any other quarterback over Justin.
I wouldn't either, but that's definitely...
That's what I'm saying. So if that would have happened, I think that would just be someone who was... It would make no sense. That being said, Drake May is not Mr. Biscuit. Drake May has 2 years under North Carolina's offense and had a better... His first year, his junior sophomore year, better year than Mr. Biscuit had ever had. Second year starting, I think it was a little bit not as good, but still a solid year. Bo Nix, someone who bounced around that often, I just don't want. I didn't like his skill at Auburn. I do not like it at Oregon. It's cool. It's efficient. That's fine. And then has someone like Michael Penix. Nothing about it stood out to me that said, ooh, you got to have him. Their playmaking performance. Like, you know, Bo Nix has some really solid throws in the semi-quarterfinal, but whatever. Caleb Williams, that Heisman year was special. This last year was But he has the potential to be great. And I would understand taking them. And then it's the politics of the job. Not politics all like you have to do this and that, but politics of the fact that if I don't take this, I'm going to lose out. I have to do it. Even if I don't think it's the best decision. Even if I don't necessarily believe this decision. It sucks, but it happens in every single job in the world. And I think he's in a strong position to do that. That being said, I don't know if he gave Justin a fair enough shot, but he may, you know, it's your guy there. He just didn't want him. I think it would be smarter to, okay, you get in, let's get Justin some more help. Let's get Justin some more help on here. And that first year, nothing. The second year, you brought in DJ, and Cole Kmet just happened to get better. That's what that was. Nothing else happened on that team. That's my take on it. I think Justin is a person that has to have a lot of things come down in a row for it to be a fair shot. That's just the quarterback who we look at is. That being said, the shit's over. They're going to get Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is going to have so much pressure. Like, you think you had pressure when you were at Oklahoma and in USC? You don't know the definition of pressure. Because not only do you have an organization riding on you, you have decades of ineptitude riding on you. You have an entire city riding on you. And then you have the fact that you're a black man and you're going to be under a microscope that is very, very rare for white players. And so that is tough in of itself. And I wish him the best, and I hope he succeeds. And if it doesn't, and then Justin starts taking off, somebody said, oh, man, it hasn't happened with quarterbacks, but it's happened with plenty of players, brother. It's a Chicago thing. And I'm sure it happens with other things, with other teams and other cities. But it's like when I watched Lori Markin, and I was like, how come he wasn't doing that shit here? And some Bulls fans like, oh, man, he had spark. I'm like, I ain't see it. So
there's two questions and comments I want to get to in the chat. Says, kind of go with the same thing. So do you think the Bear, hold on, my bad. There we go. Do you think the Bears trade up from 9? And then we got another one, go crazy 30, draft Caleb and trade him out. Here's a good thing. And we're going to get the Billy Ice question in just 1 second. We talked about this on I'm Not Going to Hold You. a couple days ago. Mikey brought this up. Let's live in the reality that they draft Caleb Williams. You get Caleb Williams. And you're going to get, I think the most you're going to get for or Justin is a couple seconds, maybe a third rounder. You know what I'm saying?
Joel Embiid tore his meniscus. God,
he did. Oh my god, damn, for real. It was if partially torn, we know it's been Bulls fans. Depend if I'm saying, is it partially or fully?
Shams just said it, just said torn, didn't say anything.
Okay,
else.
If it's partially, he'll be back in about a month. If it's fully, he cooked.
Goodness,
but anyway, so Betsy said the same thing. Austin, so here's the thing. So you draft Caleb Williams, and let's just say you get, like, I think the most you'll get for Justin is a second and maybe a couple thirds, right? Which is good. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably going to be number four or number five. Now, I know everybody, it's going to make the most sense that probably Arizona will be in prime position to get him. But Arizona also needs an offensive lineman to protect Kyler Murray. And I also saw somebody say, oh, Caleb Williams gives me Kyler Murray bust potential. When the fuck was Kyler Murray a bust? Like Kyler Murray's not a bust. And I don't know, bust is Jamarcus Russell, okay? Like, Kyler Murray's not a bust. But anyway, there's a world where you can trade the ninth pick, trade one of them seconds for Justin, and maybe trade something else to go up and get Marvin Harrison if Ryan Poles feels that's his guy. Because if you can come out of this with Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., and you line it up with DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, I mean, that's amazing. Now, I think the chance of this happening is low. Just want to get that out there. I think the most likely outcome is they stay at nine, and you get either a Rome Odunze, or you either get Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. But what do you think about the possibility of them maybe trading up for Marvin Harrison? How much do you think would you have to give up to do that?
Next year's first, probably a third. Next year's first and a third, just because how good he is. If not next year's first and a player, I don't know if the Bears have any leverage on that. If that ended up happening,
that'd be amazing.
That's
nuts. You're gonna hear me yelling in the Detroit whatever convention center we at.
And the only then I'm guessing that Marvin Harrison goes third or fourth, because second is the Patriots, correct?
No, second is Commanders, Patriots, third. So I think he goes fourth. Yeah, to Arizona.
So trading up to fourth, I can see a first from next year and a third. I think you get that. Or maybe you get first from next year and a fourth.
You're going to have to give up that nine too, though.
Oh, no. That's true. You're going to have to get, but give up that nine and a first from next year, third. But I think the nine is sort of caked in. You get the four, I give you nine, and also I give you a first from next year and a third. I feel like that's caked in. That makes the most sense. If they pulled that off, that would be one of the greatest resurgence I've ever seen.
Bruh.
That being said, I don't know if it's necessary for them to do it in giving up so much high capital. Because what happens if it's a down year for Caleb because he's a rookie? That pick might be top 10 again. And you wonder, do you want to give that up? Is that something you could use? You might use it to bolster the offensive line. Maybe there's another defensive line thing you want to do. So I pause a little bit on doing that. That being said, I pause a little on doing that because you have someone like Odunze and possibly Bowers. Bowers is that's generational tight. That's the greatest tight end in college football history. Oh, yeah. Greatest football tight end in college football history. And, like, if you were to take him, it's incredible. And on top of that, you have a balance with him and Cole Kmet. It's like, that's nuts, even though he'd become the primary pass catcher over Cole Kmet, because Brock Bowers is like that. He's the GOAT, at least in my opinion. But I think if you were to ask Georgia fans, to ask college football fans who are the GOATs among tight end, he would be up there. So I don't know if it's necessary, but if someone's willing to take the bait, why not?
I think it's a lot to give up. Let me very well. I would give it up because I'm team fuck them picks. But I would say if Ryan Poles does that, that means that he really believes in Marvin Harrison Jr. Because, you know, Ryan Poles, that nigga like holding on to picks. Ryan Poles is very much team draft pick value. So if he says, oh, fuck it, that means that's his guy. And I know we kind of went backwards on this, but I just want to say this because there was another question in here. By the way, shout out to everybody in the comments, man. There was one right here. One question said about how much you think it would take to... Oh, here we go, from Billy Ice. How many picks offered to Poles you think will make him trade the pick? Well, here's the thing. So a couple things for that. One, people talk about the evaluation of Caleb Williams. Is there, we know one thing that makes me somewhat confident in it, even more confident, Ryan Poles. You know, everybody keeps saying next Mahomes, next Mahomes, next Mahomes. We all know it's usual bullshit, right? But I would be more inclined to trust somebody who actually scouted Patrick Mahomes and was in the, was on the scout team that told the, Chiefs, he's the guy. I would be more inclined because he'll know right away, nah, that ain't Patrick. Nah, not at all. So he would be more inclined to know. So I would definitely believe him more. But as far as what would it take to give up that pick, see what we got from Carolina? Times five, okay? Oh, times five. Because if you got, and essentially, this is what you got for Bryce Young, DJ Moore, the rights to Caleb Williams, Tyreek Stevenson, and Darnell Wright is essentially what you got. So if I got that for Bryce Young, and no disrespect to Bryce, I still think Bryce would be good when he gets shit around him.
Yeah.
I need way more than that
for
fucking Caleb Williams. I need three first-rouners. That's how we start the conversation.
No, it's the price tag will be freaking enormous.
Yeah.
And I guess got to be something where if they get those picks, our team can become a contender the next year. Like that type of thing. That's, I'm getting a skill player. I'm getting a bolster on the offensive line. I'm getting a bolster on the defensive line. And I have a pick and sure for next year. Like that, it takes a lot to do that. And I don't know if any team wants to leverage that many picks.
With nine plus fields entice England at three. You got me stumped with that one. Yeah, dude, the Timberland.
They might think. I think if I'm trying to go into the logic of what they're thinking, we're rebuilding. It's going to take a second. Next year won't be our year either. The pick will be high as well. We're not going to get Caleb Williams, who is the best at that position. And on top of that, at two, we're probably not going to get Jaden Daniels at two either. So we're in a rough position here. We have someone we can get a young player in Justin Fields. We're still on the top 10. Let's see what we can get with him. You know, it's like a win-win situation. I don't think that's bad. Do I think they do it? I don't know. I think like my logic comes from the fact that NFL players seem to be very high on Fields. Yeah. NFL players in general seem to speak his praises because I think they see, wow, when I was playing against him, that shit was difficult. And also, there's a lot of talent there. If he was a bum, like I don't know people saying that about Mitch. No disrespect to Mitch. You had better career numbers than Justin ever did, but no one said that about Mitch. Justin, even with the mediocre career yards, people saying, oh, there's something special there. And people compare him to Lamar because of what they've done. Justin Fields is only the one of three quarterbacks to ever rush for 1,000 yards. And he's much stronger arm than Lamar, but he doesn't have the pocket presence that Lamar has. Yeah. That's what separates Lamar. You give Lamar Jackson's Justin Fields arm, it would be unfair.
The thing
that's already unfair.
The thing that actually pissed me off about Lamar last season, I think it was part of Lamar too, because did you see the NFL films from Conference Championship Weekend? I watch it every week on the NFL YouTube, but there's a part in the AFC Championship game where they're sitting on the bench and Odell's like, bro, you got to fucking run. He said, you're too gifted. Run the fucking ball. And like, he was mad at Lamar for not running. And it's like, it felt like to me, like Lamar and I know it's kind of off topic, this Barbershop Networks, what we do. I felt like Lamar and the coaching staff was like, yo, fuck y'all who said I can't throw the ball. I'm going to prove to y'all that I can throw the fucking ball. But as far as the actual third pick thing, that's a rare win-win for people. Whether it happens or not, I think it is good because then the Bears, you get first and third, and then you easily go Caleb Marvin Harrison Jr. And then if you're the Patriots, you get Justin Fields, and also you go again at the ninth pick. That's a win-win to both. I don't know if that happens, but that's a good scenario that I haven't seen come up.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's a solid deal. It only works for someone three or four or five, you know, after two. After two, it's like, no. If I'm watching, I'm like, no, I want him. Why? Because I can get Jaden Daniels. I can get whoever else. I can get Drake May. They're right there in my grasp. No. With the third pick, you still might have Jaden or Drake May. The fourth on down, if I'm freaking sitting at fourth, I'd be like, that's not a bad deal. I might take you up on that offer. It's like a low interest loan. Or it's like a 0% APR loan. You're like, okay. Nothing's gonna be added. I can pay this on time. I'm gonna do that. That it's only gonna work. I think more than likely four on down.
Exactly. And that's so many good scenarios.
So many good scenarios for the Bears. They are in the driver's seat, which I think is, if I'm going back to your point, Scott, is what you're trying to make. The Bears are truly in the driver's seat to end all driver's seats.
Yes.
Everything works in their favor. If they want to build around Justin, they have everything they need to do that. If they want to get Caleb and then start from there, reset the QB clock, they can do that as well. But the thing is, either quarterback, enormous pressure would be on them.
Yeah,
the pressure on Justin Fields might be higher than Caleb. Yeah. Because now it's like, all right, we passed up on a generational player. Yeah. You better show us something. And we got you this talent. So it's tough for both of them.
And even from a job perspective, if you're Ryan Poles and for Kevin Warren, because Kevin Warren makes all of the – he calls all the shots. He's the boss don of the Bears. Pretty much George McCaskey is giving him free will to do whatever the fuck he wants. And I think that Kevin Warren let you know that in his long TED Talk-ass press conference a couple weeks ago. If you get Caleb Williams, Ryan Poles has more of a leash. If you keep Justin, that nigga got to be that nigga next year. Like, he can't even do 23 touchdowns. He got to have like 30. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, it's got to be a situation when he throws for 30 and he rushes for like another seven. Like, it's going to be astronomical. Even if Caleb doesn't, you know, if Caleb has like a moderate season, 25 touchdowns, 3,500 yards, whatever, maybe like 10 picks or some shit like that. I think most Bears fans will probably be pissed because there's such astronomical, expectations of Caleb. But if you're the front office, you go, okay, we can work with that. He showed me something. He showed me more than what Justin showed me. And also one thing I want to say, too, is that Caleb is not going to be in your typical rookie position. I think Adam Johns and Kevin Fishbane said this on their pod today. Usually you see, remember how it took Josh Allen a couple years, or it took a couple other quarterbacks a couple years. Remember, they were like, oh, we need to get Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. We need to get Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown. Then they took those two off, remember?
Yeah.
So the difference is they already got that now. You already got the DJ Moore. You know what I'm saying? So he's going to be in a situation that you haven't seen before. Victor says he missed four games when he was dropping touchdowns. He probably made this year. Hey, look, man, if I was born to a rich family, I wouldn't be podding right now. If it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but we don't know. That's the thing. We can't go up here and guess that he would throw 30 touchdowns when he hasn't even thrown 20 yet. That's all I'm saying.
He would, it's a lot, deductively speaking, he would have had a better opportunity because it's more.
Yeah, he would have had a better opportunity because he's playing. Yeah, but I don't think those five games we say he getting 30 touchdowns, because even if you look at the last five games where the offense was quote unquote on fire, he only threw for a touchdown each in each game. And I'm not saying I'm grading him just on that, because he's a dual threat quarterback. So when you do dual threat, I think you got to judge him on both.
It's dishonest when people don't grade dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah, you got to grade. They do it with Josh Allen, which is bullshit. You know, 50 total touchdowns. But with Lamar, they don't do none of that.
Well, he only had this many touchdowns. I'm like, look what he rushed for. And his yards and his touchdowns. What are we doing?
Yeah.
So, whatever. But also, I don't know. His running is – Josh Allen's running is interesting. I don't know if it's integral to his game, but he also runs a lot. Yeah. Most of it seems to be maybe a run or two that's designed per game. I'm going to take off now. Whereas Lamar, it's designed runs the whole game. You better account for it. So,
I mean, he ran a lot. He had 50 total touchdowns this year. So, you know,
like a lot of 20 turnovers too.
Yeah. And this is my thing. I said this, I'm not going to hold you too. We ain't got no more love for gunslingers no more. I ain't got a problem with 15 interceptions. You throwing 30 touchdowns.
18.
That's just me. Oh, yeah, 18 this year? Okay, that's three over. But overall.
Also, that 15 is it for me. That 15 is the max.
That's what I'm saying. 15 is the max, but you got to have 30.
Yeah, you got to have 30 more if you're hitting 15. Brett Favre
that's what I'm talking about, too. Said, 65-yard bomb. Yeah, that was one of his best throws yet, but it didn't matter because he didn't catch. That's what I'm saying, too. Like, if he'd have caught that.
That was – That was such a disappointing drop.
They would have won that game.
I had to look up Brett Favre's stats. This big gunslinger. 24 interceptions, 14, 13, 13, 16, 23, 16, 15, 16, 21, 17, 29, 18, 15, 22. That is nuts.
What was his numbers doing?
He only had 2 years of singular interceptions. His first year And then his second to last year, where he had the best year of his career, I'm going to still say that forever, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. His that last was, year, 19
That was
picks.
With Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But also, well, that's why Brett Favre could never be the GOAT for me for that reason.
Well, Pil
turned the ball over.
The Pil Favre era, like 96, 97, that nigga was slinging it, bro. Like,
oh, he is, you live and die by the Favre.
But his career both ways ended with a pick. It ended in Green Bay. R-Dub picked him off in the NFC Championship game, and then he got picked off in the NFC Championship game against New Orleans. Remember they announced, this isn't week 7 against Detroit. That nigga was losing. It's the NFC Championship.
I think a lot of people who do advanced analytics say, well, you know, what happened during what happens in the game. You know, it happened earlier. It shouldn't count as much. Every turnover is a drive you could have scored on. It is always a negative. It's always a negative. Unless it is tipped, I'm going to blame you for it. Unless also tipped. You could have called it, tipped it up. That's the only time. Most of Josh Allen's was, why did you put that there? And also, it could have been more picks than this. So, no, I'm and that's why Brett Favre will never be in my GOAT. He's not in my top 5. So, top 10 for
Rodgers,
sure.
Aaron Rodgers passed him up.
Leap years. Aaron Rodgers is leap years because Aaron Rodgers could throw the same amount of touchdowns, but that ball not getting turned over. He made better decisions. I'll be honest, it's not close. I'm sorry, but my top 5 is going to be in no order. It's going to be Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino. Far somewhere outside of that, but he ain't with them guys who slain the rock. And then Pat's coming up behind him already. Just want to let you know that. Pat's on the ride.
Come behind who? Pause.
Brett Favre.
Pat ahead of Brett Favre.
Oh, I'm with it. I'm with it. We can do that too.
Pat ahead of Brett Favre. I'm being real. Look, hey, man, look. I'm not saying that he will do this. Because he already beat him twice, and that's going to be something that's very close. But if there's anybody who has a shot to at least crush Brady's records, Pat got a shot. But the health is the number one thing. Because the reason why he has a healthy start, because Brady wasn't like this in the first 3-10 championships. Took a couple years after.
He took a couple years and then just said, before it's just all he's clutch. Now, he might be the GOAT too.
Yeah, exactly.
Though
exactly.
I do think Tom Brady's I don't know if he'll touch Tom Brady's interception to touchdown ratio.
How many? What's the ratio?
So he has, Lord have mercy, so many goddamn touchdowns. He has 649 touchdowns, 649 touchdowns to 212 interceptions.
God damn.
Like that's an insane amount of touchdown interceptions.
Chiefs win, re-retire? No, but Chiefs win and Travis Kelce retires and takes Taylor Swift hand in marriage. I'm telling you, like we said, I'm not gonna hold you.
Pat has to not. So he missed 1 year. That 1 year not playing hurt him. So he has 209. He has to throw 400 more touchdowns and also less than 140 something picks. So that's what he has to stand. That's a tough thing to do. In terms of catching them touchdowns,
and
I don't know about that either. He got
to
stay healthy.
Yeah,
healthy is one of those things that only comes around every now and then. LeBron James. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tom Brady. It's rare to stay healthy and be that good. So it's not even about skill-wise. It's about can you stay healthy. And then, like, older players, like Kareem was an anomaly because older players didn't have the same access to modern medicine. Kareem just took care of his body, and he was also lucky. So,
yeah, man. I think that is all we got for y'all today. I don't have anything else on our rundown per usual. We really appreciate everybody. He said, hold on, let's answer the last question. Do you think Kelce proposed? Yes, he said, y'all throwing the Kelce proposal on the field on the parlay flows. Is that going on a parlay? That's also true. Tom Brady did miss a full year.
Tom Brady did miss a whole year. I forgot about that. That's my bad.
Is it on the parlay?
I'm going to say the odds are probably like plus 600 right now. I'm taking it.
You taking it?
My refund check is very small this year, but what I'm going to use it, I would bet that means
I'm getting money.
I would bet that on that.
That means I'm getting money. If your refund check is fine, that means I'm getting money. You know what I'm saying? Go crazy. Anyway, since you won't be on the show next week, I'm not going to hold you. What do you feel about the Super Bowl? Is any way you're leaning?
Chiefs.
Think it's going to be a blowout?
So. Who am I thinking is going to win? The 49ers.
What makes you think the 49ers are going to win?
I like how Shanahan responded.
Yes. Okay, I get that.
It reminded me of Andy Reid getting over a similar hump. And Patrick Mahomes was the person that got Andy Reid over that hump. And Andy Reid has never looked back play calling, time managing wise. He just became who he is now. Shanahan, after being down so long, he started doing things correctly. I said, ooh, because he's one of the worst coaches when he's down. That was his thing. That was his thing. And then he called a great game. I said, ooh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. In addition to that, Brock Purdy is a more capable quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo was. It's just the truth. And Brock Purdy, even after those four interceptions in the season, bouncing back over that in that adversity, and then bouncing back in adversity here, they're very dangerous right now. They're playing the team that beat them. They're very, very dangerous right now. The side of that is it's Pat Mahomes and it's the Chiefs. There's nothing logical about that. Yeah. But emotionally, that's what I probably wouldn't bet against.
I'll make my pick next Friday. We got a big Super Bowl week. We got a couple guests next week. It's going to be a fun week. But I feel like the Niners can win this game. I think it will be a close game. And I like how Shanahan actually made adjustments. Remember, Shanahan had a terrible record being down multiple touchdowns. And I like how Brock Purdy has bounced back in the last two games. But I'm really concerned about that Niners defense. They have been giving the type of space they gave Jordan Love and Jared Goff. If you give to this man, nigga, it will be a blowout. So that's my concern. But it doesn't really matter either way. I'm going Kansas City, and I'm going to go Kansas City forever until Patrick Mahomes retires, because I've given him the Brady respect in that aspect, man. But you know what I'm saying? That's all we got for y'all today, man, on this episode of 7-9 Alex. We appreciate y'all. Per usual, man, we back when, you know, something happens close to the league year, you know, during the combine and things like that. It's going to really start to get fun. A lot of stuff happening. As soon as the Super Bowl ends in about 11 days, this is exactly all the attention is going to be up on the Bears, man. So y'all know the motto.
Let's go Bulls.
Thanks, Jim. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BarberChairScott, at Flo's Andolini. You can follow the Barbershed Network at BarbershedNet. Follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis. Subscribe to the Patreon, man. Patreon.com/BarbershedNetwork. If you did miss the stream, the audio and the video will be going up on the Patreon right now. If you are not a Patreon member, this will be up on Monday. So y'all might want to subscribe right now to the $5 79th and Hallis tier, or just subscribe to the $10 holler, and you get everything that we offer on the Barbershed Network Patreon, man. If you're interested in all that, do that. I'm not going to hold you. We'll be live tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central Time. We've got a big show planned for you guys tomorrow, so check all of that shit out. And, yeah, man, we up out of here. 79th and Hallis. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th.